T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Oh, yeah.
Featuring Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
Hey, well, I'm about that action, boss.
Take him out! This is the morning roast on 95.7 The Game.
It's one of those mornings, Shasky. It's one of those mornings where you get into the studio a little bit earlier. Normally, we, you know, go out in the green room, chat a little bit, come in here maybe at 5:55. But today, came in here at 5:45, got everything set up. Then as soon as the open's about to hit in 10 seconds, realized that the headphones don't have them.
Oh, yeah.
The microphone cover, don't have it. It's in a certain place. Had to run, come back here. And now we are all set for the show. It's going to be that type of morning here on a Friday. But good morning, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in to The Roast. Happy Friday. Of course, you can catch us live on YouTube, live on Twitch. Bonte Hill is going to be back in a couple of weeks. Just one more week with me at the helm here. And of course, Joe Shasky, as always. We got a lot to get into today. Gabe Kapler getting ejected yesterday.
Oh, that solves it.
We said we wanted him to show some emotion. But did he show the emotion in the right circumstances? We'll get to that all throughout the show. Lubman had this ice cream take that we also have to get into later on. I mean, we can even get into it right now. It's going to be all over the place for the show. We got Brad Spielberger.
Well, I want to have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun Friday.
I'm tired of being negative, and I'm really, baseball, you're stupid. How are you not playing a game on a Friday night?
Especially between the A's and the Giants.
It's stupid. Yeah. Is what it is.
They had these split series where it's two games each. And now you're just skipping out on a Friday night game. And instead, we have to wait till tomorrow to watch the two powerhouses in the Major League Baseball and the A's and the Giants.
So before we get into the negativity that is the Giants, because I know a lot of people are probably fatigued by it. And I get that. And I don't want people to be. I want to have fun today. We're going to do Pandora's Box. 45 minutes. All right. Let's have some fun. Spadoni is a very eclectic music man, if you will. DJ Spades, as I'm starting to call him. The Ace of Spades. And then obviously Sam Lubman is just a weirdo. And so he's got weird taste music. Musical taste. So we're going to play some of that. But I want to start here. Before we get to baseball, football. I know your Raiders played last night.
Yeah.
Have you been paying attention to what's going on in LIV Golf and the PGA Tour?
So the latest that I've seen is the amount that was reported to be offered to Tiger Woods.
Okay.
To play in LIV Golf, yeah.
Which is about $800 million. So the way I would describe this to people that maybe aren't paying attention, and maybe you don't care about golf, that's fine. This is like a larger thing that we've seen in other sports, and it correlates to the modern era.
This doesn't have to do with just sports, and this doesn't have to do with golf specifically. No. This has to do with sports revamping their tradition.
So think about this. Last night, your team, the Raiders, they played. They were once part of the AFL, which was not a part of the NFL. It was a league that was competing with the NFL. Eventually, what ended up happening was they merged the two and they created what we now know to be the modern NFL. In the NBA, same thing kind of happened with the ABA. Some of the teams got obviously extinguished, if you will, and some of them were absorbed into the NBA.
Right.
These were competing leagues that were created in the 70s, in the 60s, that would go up against what would be the breadwinner of the category, which is kind of what's going on now. The breadwinner of the category for many years has been the PGA Tour. And I think a lot of people get kind of confused because they see PGA Tour and they think that maybe the tour itself owns and operates all the majors, which right. most people know about the majors. They have zero affiliation with any of the majors, but they have this thing called the official world golf rankings. And because of these rankings, they can qualify. You win a bunch of events in all these different circuits, the Japan Tour, you know, the European Tour. Maybe it's in the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. You get points based off how you win. And those points qualify you for these majors.
Right.
Right. So the equivalent would be in the Premier League, right? I'm sure you have all these other little leagues and then they kind of come together based on how you do and you make this big tournament.
Yeah,
Is that kind of how it goes?
There's the league below it called the Championship League, and Premier League actually starting up today. Today's the first matchup, 12 p.m., so the Premier nice. League officially underway.
And you're Chelsea, right?
Chelsea guy, yeah.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. So I'm trying to, like, paint the picture here. So for the longest time, the PGA Tour, everybody kind of think, most people, and I didn't know this until I got really deep into it, oh, well, the Masters is run by the PGA. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. Oh, the U.S. Open is run by the – no, it's not. So that'd be like the playoffs not being run by Major League Baseball. Right?
Right.
It would be like yes. the playoffs in the football and the Super Bowl itself not being run by the NFL. Kind of weird.
Completely separate entity.
Okay. Now, in all of those other sports, you sign a contract and you play for that team, right? Those are all team sports. I get it. It's a little different because it's individual. In golf, okay, you don't get a W-2. You know, at the end of the year, when you work for an employer and you get a W-2 and it's a little pay stub and it explains all the different taxes and how much money you made from your employer.
Yep. Then you got to bend and you got to tear at the right yep. seam. Oh, the yep. W-2, the old W-2. Love
and,
a good
and
W-2.
And for people like me that are in like the real world, you know, we do TurboTax these days, Steven. All right.
Hey, I'm going to click easier. On this picture of a house. That looks like it applies to me.
I know. I'm teasing. So, but the point being is that all these other sports leagues, if you, for example, are Steph Curry, you sign a contract to play in the NBA and you're playing for the Golden State Warriors. When you go on the road, they pay for your hotel. They pay for your room and board. They give you a stipend to go get food. If you get hurt, they're paying while playing for the team. They pay for your rehab, right? Who's paying for the coaches? Is Steph Curry paying for the coaches or the team and the league paying for the coaches, right?
Right.
In the PGA Tour, you're a 1099 worker, almost like an Uber driver or a Lyft driver. And what you are is like a mercenary who can come and go, but you have to pay all your own expenses, your own room and board,
yep.
your own caddy, your own team. If you hurt yourself, you're paying for
that's, it. That's why a lot of people are against the UFC. Is because with these fighters, they all got to pay for their own coaches. Yep. They got to pay for their trainers. They even have to pay for their own health care. Like UFC doesn't provide them exactly. with health care. So, yeah, I see where you're coming from.
So, and kind of to parlay it to the UFC, a lot of people make a big deal about Dana White underpaying his performers, right? His athletes. And I think the same thing's going on right now in the PGA Tour. Mm. It's the only sport outside of the UFC you make your money based on making cuts, meaning you're one of the half people out of any field that has a good enough score to qualify for Saturday and Sunday. And then based on where you finish,
yep.
you make money,
yep.
right? It's kind of like a very capitalistic, you yeah. know what I mean? In that sense, you don't just sign a contract and hey, Steph gets $50 million no matter what. Right. No matter what he does next year, he's getting his $50 million. Well, that's not the way it is in golf. And so what ends up happening is you got this bottom end of golfers, all these guys that none of us care about. And even me, a diehard golfer, I don't care about a lot of these guys. Davis Love III, for example, he's 58 years old. He's got lifetime membership on the PGA Tour and he's just been hanging around. It would be like, you know, let's say player X in the NBA, let's just say Harrison Barnes, has a lifetime exemption in the NBA, and he's just going to make money yeah. forever. And he can go into any of these tournaments and take up spots on a roster that would otherwise go to a younger, more promising player, right? That just doesn't play out in other sports. So what ends up happening now is you got guys like Phil Mickelson and you got guys like Bryson DeChambeau who want to be paid what they feel they're worth.
Greg Norman at the very top, right?
Who was kind of a renegade guy who was a great golfer in the early 90s.
Shaq.
He tried to break off and do an Al Davis and create a competitive league that would go up against the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. Well, now he's got all of this money and it's coming from Saudi Arabia, period. Point yeah. blank. This is where it's coming from. They have a financial bank that's bankrolling all of this league, all right? And this bank that they have is basically synonymous with their government. They call it a bank,
right?
But all of the experts and the people that I've listened to that know what they're talking about when it comes to Saudi Arabia is saying basically this bank represents their government, and their government has done a lot of shady things. And where I think a lot of people get, you know, kind of caught up in the mix is, you know, our government at times has done business with Saudi Arabia. Also, Saudi Arabia has committed some heinous crimes. And so there's a lot of sports washing that's going on here, meaning Saudi Arabia is trying to pay and get legitimized by sports, by paying these athletes to create this league. They have a team in your soccer league, for example.
Manchester City.
And what happened there?
Well, they paid a bunch of their players, and now they're at the very top of their game. And they just acquired another guy in Erling Haaland, who is going to be fantastic for them out of Borussia Dortmund. I mean, they spent a bunch of money and eventually earned themselves top tier. Like, you in the Premier League, it was always these, you know, these top six teams, right? And Manchester City has catapulted themselves to the very top, to the very top. And so you're talking, you know, you're talking Chelsea, Manchester United, Liverpool, Man City, Arsenal, and I'm blanking on the other one right now, but nevertheless.
Well, the point being is that they bought that team, and people think that they're doing it because the average Joe in, let's just say, Kansas.
Tottenham, excuse me. That was the one.
That's okay. Yeah. The average Joe in Kansas is going to look at Saudi Arabia different. No. They are buying these teams up and trying to create these sports leagues so that big-time investors and money people will see them as a legitimate business entity so they can grow their money exponentially. This is all about growing money. Now, they've invested in a lot of tech companies, the Saudi Arabia bank company that represents their government. They've invested in all kinds of different companies. There's a laundry list of companies that you and I all use on an everyday basis that they've invested into that is public to most people that are in the know. But us, we wouldn't know the difference. So where I'm going at with this is that Phil Mickelson gets in and he basically tries to create this entire league. And now, because he's created this entire alternate league that's totally screwing up the PGA, they banned him for 2 years. Now, he has a lifetime exemption for how good he's been. It would be the equivalent of Kevin Durant, you've won two MVPs. You have lifetime exemption in the NBA. That's how the rules of golf is worked. And imagine the NBA saying, well, wait a minute. You played in Rucker Park during the summer, and we're going to ban you for the next 2 years. That's what's going on. Now, the difference is Kevin Durant signed a contract to play in the NBA, which has very direct language saying you cannot do that because he's on a W-2, because he's paid like a normal employee. When you go drive for Uber, is there anything that says you can't drive for Lyft?
Not that I know of.
Nope. You can do both. You can do both. And so what the argument being made by people like Phil and Bryson DeChambeau and all these golfers that have now defected and gone to live is that, hey, I'm a 1099 employee. I should be able to float between the two leagues because you're not paying me on a W-2. So now that I've said all of that, they are fighting right now in court on an antitrust thing. And what's going to end up happening is that I'm telling you right now, the PGA Tour is either going to fold or it's going to dramatically change in the sense where they might end up combining with LIV. Do you think anyone cares in the sports world?
I do not. I do not because of that particular sport. Like people,
just because it's golf?
Just because it's golf. And, you know, the sports really, it's, I'm not going to say it's the athletes is what drive the sport, but really, I mean, we're talking about with the Giants consistently is, hey, they need a star to bring in fans to watch the games. Yeah. Like, you know, of course you have baseball, you have Oracle Park and all that, but you do need somebody that's a draw. Golf, I don't know, outside of Tiger Woods, anyone who's, you know, excluding diehard golf fans who really know who they're talking about. Like, I don't think the casual fan really cares. I don't even think the casual fan knows what's going on right now.
No.
I mean, I'm not going to consider myself like a golf fan.
But you'll watch.
I'll watch the four majors.
Like, exactly.
That's what I'll watch. I'll take a weekend, you know, take the 4 days. But there's, you know, if it's a Sunday where nothing's going on, then sure, I'll turn on whatever tour is going on just to put something on TV and maybe fall asleep. But I don't think people really even care or know what's happening right now.
No, I think you're right. I think you're 100%
correct. This is the first time that I'm hearing about it. And I just looked it up and ESPN has it. It's the top story if you look up the golf page.
And the reason why I think it's such a compelling story is because it kind of wraps in politics with the whole Saudi Arabia thing. And people have their own opinions there. Biden was just there a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And I'm not asking people about Biden because I really don't want to hear your political opinions, nor do you want to hear mine. But I think it's fascinating on many, many, many levels. And we look at these other sports, and what we see now was created in the 60s and 70s by guys kind of doing things that are going on right now in golf. Rick Barry left the Warriors to go play in the ABA for more money.
Right. They wanted to be more flashy, didn't they?
Well, they wanted to be more flashy. These guys wanted to get paid. They wanted to have freedom of movement between teams. Yeah. Think about what Kurt Flood was fighting for in the 70s. He was fighting for free agency.
Right.
He wanted the ability to be able to control where he played. All the owners got to control everything. So you've seen this in the NFL, the AFL. When they merged, obviously the AFL was a different league and trying to upstart and take over the NFL and the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Raiders. And there's all these teams from the AFC that were all part of that league. And now we look at it and we think, I think a majority of young fans are like, oh no, it's always just been the NFL. No, it hasn't. And I'm sure you as a Raider fan know about the rich history of the AFL.
Yeah, I'd say that, and with that creepy 30 for 30 with the deep fake of Al Davis's face.
Dude, it was so weird.
I watched that once. I enjoyed the story, but I didn't need the deep fakes.
I'm with you.
But to those leagues, though, the reason that those other ones were starting up is because the original leagues were kind of deteriorating?
Yes, which is what's happening with the PGA Tour.
That's what's surprising to me is because I didn't think the PGA Tour was like that. I just thought, you know, the PGA Tour is a PGA Tour and it has its golf fans. That's it.
Well, the way the other leagues are set up is there's collective bargaining. You saw this right now. Why did baseball go on strike? There's a chunk of money, okay?
Yep.
And they're arguing about how to divide the money up,
yep.
right? The players' union and the owners.
Ugh.
And depending on the sport, it can be anywhere from 40 to 60% in either direction. They try to be about 50-50. That's what, like, you know, but we're talking about fractions of percentages, which end up being billions of dollars. In the PGA Tour, the players are only seeing like a drop out of the bucket. That's the argument that they're making. Okay. The purses, the amount of money that's in every single tournament that they're trying to go after, you know, they signed a $500 million deal. Fox did to broadcast the U.S. Open. The purse for the championship went up like $3 million. Where's the money at? That's what guys like Phil Mickelson
are
saying.
That's crazy.
Where's the money? Why are we, the players, the product, not getting more of the money? Why is it going to these executives behind the scene? So I think this whole thing is going to explode right now. Again, there's the political angle. You know, where do you stand on Saudi Arabia? And I'm one of those people that's like, hey, look, I got an iPhone. I know where this comes from. I don't even want to think about it, and I'm addicted to it. Hey, I like Nike. I wore Nike baseball pants last night. I know that they're one of the worst offenders of sweatshops. Like, if I went through all the things I use on my daily basis, I wouldn't be able to use any of the things I like. I don't love that it's Saudi Arabian money that's backing all this, but at the end of the day, if somebody gave me $500 million to go jump, and I'm Tiger Woods, it's easy for him to say, I've got all the money in the world, I'm going to stay. I'd leave.
Yeah, that's what I thought when Tiger Woods had made that statement. When he made that statement, though, and he's talking all against the LIV Tour, and you know, I'm all about the PGA Tour and all this stuff, and you know, I don't get why these guys are doing this. And I'm like, okay. You're pretty much a billionaire, Tiger. I know you've gone through some struggles with money lately, but you're a billionaire, Tiger. You've done just fine. All right, you're not like these other golfers right now.
Yes.
But it just, to me, on both sides. In 650, thank you guys for not starting with the Giants. They didn't want to start my morning in a crappy mood.
My boy Rocco texted the same thing.
That's all coming up in a couple minutes.
we'll build ourselves up to anger.
It just feels slimy on both sides.
No, I agree with that.
On both sides. And this, as a matter of fact, this does not even, like, this isn't an allure for me to watch golf. It's not like I'm going to go watch the LIV Tour.
Well, what's the one argument right now for baseball and the NBA? The regular season kind of stinks. Wouldn't you agree? Like the common thread between the two, like not that there aren't moments, it's too long, there's too much product, and there's no sense of urgency. Like regarding the regular season.
Yeah, and that's why they're trying to create this midseason tournament within the NBA so that the players would have incentives for load management and all this stuff. Yeah.
So I guess, you know, and Spadoni watches a lot of golf like I do. I'm being real. I love golf. I don't give a damn about the Rocket Mortgage Challenge, which is one of the names of the tournaments. I don't give a damn about the 3M tournament in Minnesota, right? And so you have all of these events on the calendar all throughout the year that kind of stink and nobody really watches and nobody really cares. And so the PGA needed a shakeup.
Yeah.
It just is unfortunate that it's backed by Saudi Arabian money. You know, if this was somebody else financing this entire league, I think we would all wrap our arms around it. The point that I'm going at this morning, this is ending up in court. And antitrust is something that we do here. Like, you take these modules at work. You're not allowed to share information. You're also not allowed to be a monopoly in any industry. You're not allowed to do X, Y, and Z. And we take those training modules that we all do. We just keep clicking. You know which ones I'm talking about, where you have like tests at the end and you just click, 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 click. So the same thing happens here. This is an antitrust case that's going to be settled in the courts. Well, the Saudi Arabian government has put together like $150 million to basically fight this. And they put out all this information yesterday, and come to find out, Phil Mickelson banned for 2 years. Bryson DeChambeau banned. Dustin Johnson banned. Everybody that took the money banned. And here's where they found a loophole. To be on the PGA Tour, you have to qualify, right? So they say, hey, you got to have status. You need to win X, Y, and Z events, and we invite you to come play because you've qualified. Hey, Patrick Baldwin, you were drafted by the Warriors. Doesn't mean anything. We have to invite you to come play in the regular season. I'm trying to use a
sports equivalent. Aren't there only so many slots, too?
156 every week.
Wow.
Right?
Okay. Gotcha.
So one of these guys didn't have an opportunity to play, but Liv had an event across overseas. And what he's saying is, hey, I wasn't allowed to play in this tournament because I didn't qualify. But you're not allowing me to jump over and play in this other one. That's like you saying, hey, there were no Uber Lyft rides, but you're not allowed to take you're not allowed to take a Lyft ride.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. I'm an independent contractor. I should be able to float between any job that I want. And so it sounds like to me, they're going to win in court. Liv's going to kick their butt. And the PGA Tour that we know now is going to be dissolved in some form or fashion.
My question is, how long is that going to take?
It could take years. It could take months. Years.
Okay.
I mean, we're talking about somebody in the PGA Tour trying to fight with a pen. And the Saudi Arabian government is fighting with a machine gun. Like, think Scarface.
The ESPN article that I mentioned earlier. So the headline is, the biggest takeaways from the Liv golfer's eye-opening lawsuit against the PGA Tour. And I'm looking down, and I'm not going to read the entire thing as we're on air, because we're on air. So we do have some Bay Area sports to get into.
We will get into
it. But one of the sub headlines here was DeChambeau side with Liv Golf twice.
Yeah. Well, here's the best part. So these guys were all.
I'm going to side. And then he said, no, I'm sticking with the PGA Tour. Then he signed again.
Well, like, think about it this way. Like, if you knew, if you're one of these golfers, Dustin Johnson, he's made $70 million on the course. Okay, $70 million on the course. They gave him $150 million contract, 3 years. He's like doubling his entire career earnings of 20 years, and he's a Hall of Fame golfer. He's doubling all of his earnings. Boom, 3 years. You're taking the money.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So here's where
Steve Miller Band.
Yes.
Go on, take the money and run.
Here's where it gets even more fascinating. They want to introduce a team element into this. And so you'll get four or five golfers on a team. All right. And then the apparel companies will come in and say, we'll buy the rights to that team. So Adidas, for example, is already being rumored to buy a team.
So is this going to be like when you're on 2K and you're playing Team Adidas versus Team Nike?
Exactly. Well, don't we already do this in a lot of like NASCAR and Formula One? Aren't there like certain teams? I don't know Formula One that well. Do you know Formula One?
Formula One's the only one I do know. I don't know about NASCAR.
So then how does Formula One work? There's like Team Ferrari?
So there are 20 drivers, two drivers to each team, and each team is a different company. So it's Mercedes, there Ferrari, McLaren, there's Haas.
And they're all car companies?
Majority of them, yeah.
Majority. So I don't know if they're all going to be apparel companies, but the point that I'm going at is, we see what the price is for a pro team. Denver, what'd they sell for? $5 billion? What was the Denver Broncos sold for?
I don't know, but they were sold to Lewis Hamilton. He's a part owner now.
Right?
So Mercedes.
Imagine what these golf teams are going to garnish in terms of the amount of money.
$4.6 billion.
$4.6 billion. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that these golf teams are going to net that, but eventually that's what the hope is. And you're going to have these teams. So you'll have Team Adidas versus a South African team, because there's already like a South African team kind of molding together. And you could see where hundreds of millions of dollars are going to be generated from these team formats. But no one seems to really care. And I think it'll actually be easier to gamble on. And that's where I think the general public will really start to hop on board.
Well, you know, in this generation, and I've learned this, you know, the reason I'm a Formula One fan is because of Drive to Survive. Like, my dad used to watch it, right? He used to watch it all the time. And every time I'd walk in on a Sunday morning, walk to the living room, and I'd see him watching it, I'd just see Lewis Hamilton at first, and he's just way ahead of the pack. Like, there's no chance of catching him. He's 30 seconds above the, he's 30 seconds ahead of whoever's in second. And I'm watching it thinking, like, what's the point of this? Then Drive to Survive comes out, and you watch it, then you realize, oh, it's not just about who comes in first, but it's about the points. And also, they get you to care about the drivers,
the individuals.
Yes, because they're being 100% vulnerable, honest. And what we need in this generation, and this is unfortunate to say, but we live in this generation where we need reality television type stuff. We need drama. And I thought that's what the that's what the PGA Tour was going to do
with Netflix
prior to everything with LIV Golf, because they saw the success that Drive to Survive had. Mm. Like, there's an event that they have in Austin, the Formula One race. They have one over in Austin, and it is like they don't even have enough resources because of the amount of people that are buying tickets. They call it the Netflix effect. Like, everyone is buying tickets now to these races. They're holding one in Vegas now. They hold one in Vegas because it's become so big in America. Everyone knows, like, hey, let's go to Vegas for a Formula One race, and everyone is going to be there. I think it's happening in November of 2023. So that's going to be a huge event. I could be wrong on that. It might be later, but I believe it's November 2023. So I thought PGA Tour was going to do that. I saw the report. Everyone,
they were going to. And they hired the guys from F1.
And then all of a sudden, LIV Golf took over and then shook everything up.
Well, and I think one of the things that, like, people say, where are all the baseball stars? There's a lot of young stars. They don't market them properly. The PGA Tour has not marketed their product properly. There are intriguing whack jobs. Bryson DeChambeau is a whack job.
Well, this is why I had an issue with the reaction to the Home Run Derby. Because
what do you mean?
After the Home Run Derby, you know, it was like Julio Rodriguez was an absolute stud. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I saw this tweet, and a lot of people were tweeting about this. It was, baseball's in good hands. And it's like, it's been in good hands with the players.
It's the owners.
It's been fine. It's
the executives.
The owners. It's the actual organization itself. So until you get yourself in different hands, when it comes to like Rob Manfred and guys like that, baseball's been in good hands with the players. The players are fine.
I know. It's crazy. And here's a great text from the 510, which I didn't know. Red Bull owns four soccer teams and the best Formula One team.
Yeah.
They're 100% going to buy a LIV team. That's where I'm going with this. Like, this is going to be... Look, at some
point, fascinating, man.
At some point, the dam will break, and Nike and Under Armour, they'll have their own teams, and they'll figure it out. It's just, I think this is the biggest story no one's talking about, and I think it's got so many layers to it. There's the whole Phil being just a gambling addict on one side, Bryson DeChambeau and all these guys who are already millionaires crying that they're poor. Then you've got the political angle. You've got the PGA Tour and the old school, the history. I mean, there's just a lot going on here, and it's just something that I think I want to monitor over the next couple of weeks, because this thing, I think, I honestly believe the PGA Tour is going to either dissolve or merge with LIV, and it's going to be wild. We haven't had a merger like this in 30, 40 years in the major sports.
If they don't have the viewers that they want, I'm telling you, you just put a documentary on there, and your viewership is just going to skyrocket. Well, once you get people to, like, once you get to know these golfers, if you do, I'm telling you, if you create a documentary in real time of what's going on, it's kind of like, you know, Hard Knocks or what's the All or Nothing with Amazon Prime.
Well, did you think that Charles Barkley, like, because I still think Barkley's going to go. I know he says he's not. I think he's going to go. Wouldn't that make it a more compelling television product?
It might. It might.
You'll tune in just to see Chuck.
I probably will.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
What's coming up on the game is sponsored by the San Diego Tourism Authority. All right, we are going to get to
game. Let's get miserable.
Let's get miserable on a Friday talking Giants baseball. 8 straight losses to the LA Dodgers. When you're happy and you know it in San Diego, there's no limit to how you can show it. Endless sunshine, coastline, Juan Soto, and outdoor adventures inspire waves of feel-good vibes. Plan your trip today at sandiego.org. Lubin, did you put Juan Soto in there?
Ozzie came over and said something. And he's defending his pitcher, Harleen Garcia. And then Gabe got into it, and he gets tossed. So that means that with Gabe Kapler being ejected, the manager now is going to be Kai Correa.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky.
Credit to NBC Sports Bay Area for that audio. The Giants have lost 8 straight to the LA Dodgers in 2 of their previous 4-game series. Yes, Shasky.
Keep the beat going. I don't know what you heard about me, but I'm angry, K-A-P. I'm going to get thrown out, can you see? And nothing changes the SFGs.
I like that one. That was good, man.
Angry Cap.
Angry Kapler. For once, we've seen him show
flip some, a spread.
We have seen him show some emotion other than clenching his jaw. Finally.
Now that he's done it. Okay. You are one of many, because you're not the only one. I'm not trying to point the finger at you, but I'm doing the ET.
No, feel free. It's fine.
A lot of people. I have buddies like, dude, yeah. Cap, do something. You know, yell at someone. You know, rip your shirt off. Break a bat. Do something. This is what they're saying the other day. You got swept at home to the Dodgers for the first time since 1977.
Right.
And in the middle of this game, I don't even know what he was arguing. Honest to God, it didn't even make sense what he was arguing.
So everyone was confused. I was at that game. Okay. I was sitting in 305. So I
had the game on mute.
I was all the way, you know, in right field, third deck.
Yeah.
Shade, which was great.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Isn't that so beautiful, that side?
Yes.
I want to buy season tickets in the 203, 204 section, which is club level.
Yeah.
Just because I love that little particular part where you can overlook the bay.
Yes.
It's not that windy.
You get both sides of the Bay Bridge.
Yes. I mean, love
the
that.
Shade came out. It was
it's perfect, isn't it?
It was a great day. It's a great day at the yard. That's why people go to Oracle
great
Park.
Great angle.
But we didn't know why Kapler was so
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We saw Harleen Garcia throw his hands up.
Garcia.
We saw Harleen Garcia strike out whoever it was. It was Trey Turner, I believe. And it wasn't Trey Turner. It was the nice batter. Who was the nice batter last week? Whatever. But anyway, Harleen Garcia strikes him out, and he has some gestures to the Dodgers dugout. So we saw that. And then we see Kapler get mad. And I did that thing that fans do where, you know, you yell something and you hope that it's going to get some reaction.
Okay, what'd you yell?
I was like, he showed some emotion! election. Nobody reacted. Just
did
like
you
nobody,
stand up and say that?
I did, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, just like nobody here reacted at all. Lubman's like, Spadoni covering his mouth just to show the lack of disappointment that he has on his face right now. But nevertheless, no one had any idea what was going on. So we all go on our phones and try to replay what was happening. And then we see that Harleen Garcia was gesturing towards Mookie Betts. So I was happy that Kapler showed that emotion. But then the Giants ended up losing the game. Brandon Belt gets on with the double in the last inning as he's a pinch hitter. Ugh.
I just, Mark brought this up. Mark Willard brought this up. And I agree with him.
Yeah.
It's just not in his nature and it's not in his character. And I'm not saying that yesterday was disingenuous. It felt
right.
I just felt bad for him. I felt like he did it because he felt like he had to. And then he was all the way in and was just kind of venting over everything when it really wasn't that particular thing. You know, the nothing fight, you and your girl get into the fight about nothing, but it's really about something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like some underlying thing that's been sitting there that it's really not about you putting the jar back up on the peanut butter.
Right.
It's really about like 50 other things yeah. that have added up to that.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like for me. And I honestly felt bad for him. And I feel like everybody's making him into the bad guy. And I don't think that is fair. I don't. I don't love everything that they do in the dugout. I think they are very smart. But I think that this is all Farhan. This is the way Farhan has put this team together and how he wants to operate. And this is just one of the many links in the chain of how things are going to be run. And it starts, the end of the chain starts up top, and that's with Farhan.
Well, and I understand it's all part of, that's why I was even hesitant to say it yesterday, because I understand, like, it's just who Kapler is. He's going to be a very stoic personality. Mm-hmm. That's what he wants to, he wants to have that rubbed off on his team. Like, you know, it's just don't get high, don't get too low. That's just who he is. That's what he's always been about. Yeah, going back to last year, every time you'd ask him, you know, can you believe you're on the verge here and you're toe-to-toe with the Dodgers? Oh, we don't get too high, don't get too low, blah, 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 blah. Actually, let's hear from Kapler after the game talking about his ejection, because he answered it in just such a Kapler way.
The conversation was essentially, and I didn't articulate myself well at the time, but the conversation was basically that wasn't okay, that behavior wasn't okay. And obviously I took exception to sort of being scolded in front of our dugout about how to approach and address our players, which obviously I have done, our veteran players have done, and I would do no matter what. So we didn't really need any prompting there. I had already gotten Harlan off the field. He was in the dugout. And at that point, things were completely under control. So I took exception to that. No reason for us to have that conversation right there in front of our dugout. And Harlan has been addressed about it. And he understands that the competition between the lines and showing some emotion is totally fine. And you can go right up to the line, but probably cross the line in that situation. Take responsibility for that. Move on.
I think what you're talking about, too, the way that it's just... Yeah. Everything has just boiled up to this where he lost it.
Yeah.
He lost control because the umpire was coming at him. I think it was the same thing with Carlos Rodon back in that Diamondback series when he kicked the bat at Tyro Estrada.
Sometimes we black out with anger.
You do.
I do it all the time. I mean, I takes one to know one.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Right.
But here's where I get a little coach speak. It drives me nuts. It does. It drives me nuts. And I know they all have been conditioned to do coach speech. Ask me the question that he was at. What was the exact question from Gabe Kapler? Do we even know that led to that long-winded word salad of eloquence right there from Kapler? We don't even know. All right, why don't you pretend to be one of the reporters? You're okay. Stephen Langford, 95.7 The Game. Okay. And I will be, this is how I, again, I'm different from Kapler. This is how I would answer that exact same question.
Hey, Gabe, this is the first time that you've been ejected since being the manager of the San Francisco Giants. You haven't been ejected since being with the Phillies. What led to that ejection, Gabe?
You've been watching us since the All-Star break? We stink. I'm frustrated. I'm pissed off. I took it out on the umpire. You know, we're getting clobbered by our rivals right now. And, you know, I got a pitcher on the mound who's, you know, mad at guys celebrating when my own guy, Mauricio Dubon's bunting when we're up 10 earlier this year. I told people we're reinventing baseball. And now I got my own guy on my own team getting mad because someone's having fun on the other side as they're drubbing us. I'm frustrated, guys, and I took it out on the umpire, and we just kind of stink right now. Like, that's what I wish. That's right. What I wish Kapler would just say. I wish all coaches, and I'm not exclusive to him. I just wish we could just be real. Why does it have to be these word salads? We stink. I'm frustrated. I'm trying to motivate my guys. I'm searching.
Why can't it be that way? It's the same reason why he doesn't show emotion whenever his team's playing poorly. He doesn't want to get too high or get too low on his team. Like, I get why he's talking like that. I'd love to have him be 100% honest. I'd love any head coach to be 100% honest, but, well,
but that's why I like Steve Kerr.
It's not just Kapler, it's everybody.
But that's why I like Steve Kerr. Does Steve Kerr do the, you know, it's not political in the political sense. I mean, like, political in that locker room. Does he dance around certain things? Absolutely. But there are nights where Steve goes to that podium and he's like, you know, our defense stunk. We just couldn't stay in front of anyone. Like, where it's just, true. It gives me the real. And I'm not expecting everyone to be Steve Kerr. You have to be yourself.
No,
but part of what frustrates me with Kapler just at the podium is these word salads of everything has to be perfectly generic.
No, it leads you to believe that Steve Kerr, I mean, that was just a light dose of what Steve Kerr is giving the team when he's actually in the locker room and what he's telling them. Whereas Gabe Kapler, it's just like, the Luis Gonzalez thing. I'm way more like, this isn't the way that I wanted Kapler to show his emotion. Not when an umpire is coming at him just because Harleen Garcia, you know, can't take a beating from these Dodgers and having to, you know, gesture over to the dugout when they're kicking the crap out of you.
You can't be the team that says you're going to run up the score on everyone.
Right.
And then you're mad that someone's running up the score on you and celebrating. You can't. You just can't be that team.
Instead of an outside factor, get mad at your own team.
Well, like, get mad at yourself, Garcia. Get mad at yourself for serving up donks.
This segment is presented by Golden
Straight
State.
Dingers.
Lumber and building materials for professional builders and contractors throughout Northern California. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. Actually, coming up at 7 o'clock, we're going to make a move here. Pandora's Box is coming up at 7 o'clock because on the other side, I want to read Sam Lubman's rundown verbatim here because what he wrote about the Giants is just written in such Sam Lubman fashion on the rundown, and it's fantastic.
So I miss Fridell.
We'll get to that on
the
other side.
What would he ask Gabe Kapler? Gabe, why?
I don't agree with that, Nick.
Why is Garcia showing that kind of emotion?
Wow. Don't even try to impersonate him. His voice is the voice of God. All right, that's all coming up.
Tell Michelle I said hi.
That's all coming up. It's the morning
every
roast.
Time I see
what's
you.
Up, buddy? On 95.7
I
the game.
Missed you.
This is Stephen Curry, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and the Butcher on 95.7 The Game.
You know, if the LIV Golf thing that you're talking about in the lawsuit that's going on between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, I mean, if this lawsuit is ongoing, you said it could take years.
Could.
I mean, if this thing goes all the way up until
it's like the Giants rebuild,
Steph Curry is done with his career, the PGA Tour needs to sign Steph Curry right away. That's how you bring in viewers. That's how you draw people away from LIV Golf. Bring in Steph Curry, let him play the PGA Tour after he's done playing basketball. Although that's not going to be for quite a while.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't know if that lawsuit's going to be ongoing for that much longer. But good morning, everyone. It is Friday. Happy Friday. Thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to everybody on YouTube. Shout out to everybody live on Twitch. Of course, 888-957-9570 is the Comcast Business text line and the phone number. In about 9 minutes, we are going to be doing a Pandora's Box. As you know, Bonte is on this station whenever he's hosting. He always likes to go after music, and especially one that he hasn't heard of. So we like to play Pandora's Box with him, where we play a song and he tries to guess the artist. It's a lot of fun. But this time we're going to have Lubman and Spadoni choose the music and see if we could guess whatever they're choosing. So I'm very curious to see what happens there. That's coming up.
People need to smile.
Yeah.
It's Friday.
Yeah. It's 7 and it's coming up at 7 o'clock.
And we have no baseball game tonight. I cannot get over Major League Baseball not scheduling a game for the Giants and A's tonight. It's so stupid.
It's ridiculous.
A Friday night.
But
in the summer.
I'd also counter that with how many Giants and A's fans want to watch the Giants and A's play. I think Giants and A's fans both just want a day off.
Well, now that we're here, where are you at with the Giants and A's in terms of, like, just does anyone care about this rivalry today? Does anyone care? Like, now that both teams kind of stink, is anyone losing their minds? And I'm sure NBC Bay Area is excited to give out the Bay Bridge Trophy.
Bridge Trophy.
Thank you.
Huge.
Loves just couldn't wait to jump in there.
It's right up there with the World Series for me. So
might be a little bit bigger.
I love you, Spadoni. By the way, Spadoni came in here today.
Bay Bridge Series Trophy, the Stanley Cup.
He's a diehard A's fan. comes flying in here today. I come in, hey, what's up, Spadoni? And he's chuckling. And I go, what's up? He goes, 7 home runs. I go, what?
7? It's crazy.
Explain what you said to me.
The Los Angeles Angels yesterday hit 7 home runs and lost to the Oakland A's.
All solo shots.
All solo. Most ever in a game in MLB history. All solo home runs. And Shohei had 2 of them, and they lost.
And take it another step.
And the A's are now only 3 games behind them. So the A's are last in the AL West, as you guys know, for like most of the year. Angels are only 3 games ahead of them. There could be a chance that the $100 million payroll of the Los Angeles Angels could finish in last.
I'm telling you, they made a mistake in not trading Shohei.
You're sure about that?
Yeah, I am sure about that.
Okay.
You can rebuild your team if you trade away Shohei.
You think the Nationals are feeling pretty good about where they're at?
They're terrible at giving out contracts. Like, we can't, you know, dismiss the Anthony Rendon contract or the Albert Pujols contract that they originally
gave Hamilton.
Him. Everything that's happening with Mike Trout
is
unfortunate.
The pitcher?
C.J. Wilson.
C.J. Wilson from Texas. Gloves.
He's stuck in Texas, too. Oh, Giants killed him in the World Series.
Look at you, Spadoni.
But I think
nice job, Spadoni.
I just, when it comes to the Bay Bridge series, from the 925, I'll be out there tomorrow talking bleep to Giants fans.
Okay.
But
I just don't care.
What kind of bleep do you have to talk? Like, that's the what I've noticed from yesterday going to the Giants and the Dodgers. Like, I'd been to damn near every Giants-Dodgers game that I could possibly go to the past 3 seasons. And it felt like there was more to it because these teams could actually be competitive with each other.
They're similar playing field.
Especially last year. So you could jab at each other, but now it's just, well, there's a bunch of Dodger Blue out there. What are you going to say? Hey, your team stinks. No, they don't. Hey, your team doesn't spend money. Yes, they do.
Your ring is not real. Well, that's what I say to them.
Okay, but then they'd counter that with, well, we beat you last. It just feels like if you're a Giants fan, you'd be in a losing fight. There's just no point. It doesn't feel like any Giants fans wanted to go at Dodger fans yesterday. It was just hanging out at the yard, which is cool. I mean, you do want that. You don't want fights or anything happening like that, but it's fun hearing the back and forth between fans sometimes.
We've done this exercise many times. If you tried to put a team together by combining the A's and the Giants, they'd still finish in 3rd or 4th place in both the AL and NL.
That's crazy.
Can we agree?
That's crazy to think about.
No, it's 100% accurate. Can we all agree? If they combine rosters and we pick the best of the best.
Just put Chad Pinder and Laureano on this Giants team, they could win. That's a real winner right there.
That's a 107-win season right
Zach
there.
Zach Jackson closing? Man.
Sean Murphy and Austin Wins would really be battling it out for the catcher
Sean Murphy's
position.
Actually pretty good. But other than that, it's not. Yeah, it's slim pickings.
So this is the most ZZZ Giants-A's battle.
I liked Pache at the beginning of the season.
Everyone
then he kind of petered out.
Everyone did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you tweet out that you're sad that you're coming to Oakland, then what do you expect?
So just to give you a peek behind the curtain. So Lubman, he does a great job, puts in a lot of work.
Strong.
He does for the show every single
day.
He's
above average.
And he writes out these rundowns
love
for
you,
us.
Love
and these
you, love
and these rundowns, they have, maybe 5 or 6 pages, just a ton of information. And normally it's just surface level info. Doesn't really give an opinion on it, just gives the facts.
Yeah, he'll tell you his opinion. So it goes on forever.
He will tell you the opinion. He's not afraid to, but now he's starting to put a little snark into his rundown, especially the Giants. So I'm just going to do we have it? No, we don't have it offhand. But Lubman on the Hang Up and Listen. That's about as real as it gets with Lubman when he's on Hang Up and Listen. And he was talking about platooning with Ruff and Slater, that segment that he did on NBC Sports Bay Area. So when I'm reading this rundown, I'm reading it in Lubman's voice.
Oh,
we have it. So let me play the Hang Up and Listen first. So I'm going to do
this. This is his television debut.
This is his television debut. And then I'm going to read what he wrote on the rundown this morning for the Giants, just so you have a voice to picture it in. Because when I'm reading it in Lubman's voice. But just to give you an idea of what Lubman sounds like when he's heated about the Giants. This was his segment on Hang Up and Listen back on NBC Sports Bay Area a couple of months ago.
He wasn't quite ready.
More calls?
We've got more calls. Okay. Sam in Concord, you're on the line.
Dave Capel's starting to get into that habit of overmanaging again. Jock Peterson's the best player on the Giants, but got a lefty pitcher coming up, so we got to pinch hit Jock for Austin Slater or Darren Ruff because we got to get that righty-lefty matchup. Never mind the fact that Jock is hitting better against lefty pitchers than either Slater or Ruff. I mean, if you want to follow the data, that's fine. But at least follow it correctly. I'll hang up and listen.
It's either Slater or Ruff. So That's Loveman when he's heated, right? And I think they cut out like 2 minutes of
the
that
best
call.
Part is just he's been talking for 2 minutes already. Yeah, and him up.
Yeah, yeah. Joc Pederson, 4 for his last 37.
I mean, very few calls have aged worse than that one.
That's when they actually started. That's when Ruff and Slater really started to turn it on.
But that's legend, Darren Ruff.
This is how Loveman wrote the rundown here. The last time the Giants lost 8 straight to the Dodgers, 41-year-old Willie McCovey was in the lineup at first base, and Jack Clark was in right as the Giants stumbled to a 71-91 record in 1979. So that's the first fact. I mean, that's something, though.
That's a good fact.
Yeah. 8 straight to the Dodgers, first time since 1979, and Willie McCovey was 41, and Jack Clark was in right field. Wow.
Jack the Ripper's my dad's 22. As much as I love Will Clark, when I bring up 22 and Clark, my dad's like, no, it's Jack the Ripper. So for a lot of older Giants fans, you know, the Jack the Ripper was that dude.
But he continued.
It's a great name, by the way, as far as nicknames.
Jack the Ripper. Agree? Jack the Ripper's awesome.
When you're a baseball player.
Although, not the actual Jack the Ripper.
Probably can't get away with that nickname today. But the nickname. He's probably grandfathered in.
Come on, dude. Jack the Ripper might be one of the sauciest nicknames ever.
But he continued. Loveman did.
Like, you think of a hitter and Jack the Ripper, and you're
okay.
Up there ripping.
I get it, Chasky. I'm trying to get through this.
Sorry. Just want to feel good about the Giants.
The last time the Giants got swept at home in a 4-game set against the Dodgers, people were still having their minds blown by that new Star Wars movie.
We got to say the year, too, to add the context.
1977, July 1st through 4th.
What a great year 77 was. I think it's the year my mom graduated high school presentation.
Those who wanted Kapler to go nuts, you got your wish. Now what? That's it.
Is Farhan Yoda in this scenario? Who's Kapler?
No. Han Solo? We are.
You know, he'd be, honestly, I think he'd be.
You guys would be better at this than I would. You guys are bigger Star Wars fans than I am. So I don't know.
Who's the guy that is the general that he chokes out, that Darth Vader ends up choking out at the very beginning of A New Hope?
Oh, I don't remember that guy's name.
Oh, all the different admirals that he does that to?
Yeah.
Okay, the guy who's talking smack about the Force.
Yes.
And then he's like, your clairvoyance. Yeah.
Yes.
Conjure up all this sort of stuff.
It is Conan Antonio Motti, according to Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
Wikipedia.
Yeah, Wikipedia is actually, it's a very good site.
Yeah.
I am holding out casting Farhan as any of the Star Wars characters. It's too early.
It is too early. DVD is a Star Wars character.
I don't know what he is. If I had to guess right now, he's definitely not part of the Rebel Alliance.
Is that a conversation for next week? Try to build this team out of Star Wars characters. Well,
get me a damn Luke Skywalker while you're at it. I mean, that'd be nice.
Who is that Luke?
Great pod idea for Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, am I right?
No, it's Luciano. He's the new hope. He's just hidden somewhere on like Tatooine for years.
He's looking at that sun in Eugene.
Sacramento is
Imagine
Tatooine
Imagine if Luke
now.
Skywalker had to go through pre-ARB 3 before he can, you know, leave Tatooine and go destroy the Death Star.
That's so good.
Was it the arbitration arguments that got Anakin over to the dark side?
Okay, one too many.
That's way too deep inside Star Wars. Anyway, I'm not to get you wrong, I love Star Wars. I do. I just don't remember all the. There's a lot of names that are being thrown out there. It's like Samuel L. Jackson's all of a sudden in Star Wars. Like, what the hell is happening here? I've had it with these mother effing sabers on this mother effing starship. I don't know.
I just the Giants yesterday honestly was just so bad. It's like right when Mookie hit that home run, everyone knew like game over. Everyone knew.
Everyone was super thrilled with how they pitched to him in the beginning of the game.
Oh, Junis goes 4. I mean, we're ready to throw a parade for Jacob Junis going 4.
I looked up at the pinch count, and I'm like, 79 pitches, and you're taking them out? All right, whatever. Look, we'll get back into the Giants. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app and favorite 95.7 The Game for the best and most up-to-date sports coverage. And don't forget, Chasky, that you can also watch us every day on YouTube and Twitch streams. Just log on and search 95.7 The Game.
This is the year from the 510. This is the year, if any, that split hats are allowed.
Disagree. No matter how poorly the teams are playing.
Cozumore online, too.
Cozumore, he might.
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, he might fly in from Nashville just to go to this game and wear a split hat. He might. I've seen it. Dude, I saw a split jersey there. It was like a.
Well, if you could split a jersey between two players, A's and Giants, oof.
That'd be a tough one.
I know. It'd probably be DFA.
You have a split Ray Durham jersey?
Player to be named later. Yeah. PTBNL. That's the jersey,
I like that.
Ask considerations.
Right. So we are going to have some fun here. You know what Pandora's Box is. Normally, we get on Bonte for the music and the lack of him knowing the artist. He knows the song, but he doesn't know the artist. So we have a lot of fun with Pandora's Box. But Spadoni and Lubman are going to test us here, Shasky, with Pandora's Box. Hit it.
Bonte Hill has a vast knowledge of sports.
Mm-hmm. If you do watch the film, don't knock us for watching film, Shasky.
But if there's one kind of hole in his game, it's music.
All right, do you know the...
Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's go.
They later changed to the Noble Five before...
Oh, it's Maroon 5. This is Maroon 5.
It's time for Pandora's Box.
Just for a quick second as the music rides out, we're doing Pandora's Box. The boys are going to pick three songs.
Yep.
Me and Steven are going to work together as a team to try to answer who the name of the band is. I don't know. Lubman has very specific musical tastes. The beginning of that intro, it brings me back to the pandemic.
Yeah.
Bonte screaming at me about not watching film of Mac Jones. That's how sad and angry and lonely we were during the middle of the pandemic with masks on in our own homes for some of us as we're doing Zooms. And he's screaming at me about Mac Jones film. Oh, God, it takes me back.
The one that took me back was when we first did Pandora's Box. And just how confident he was when he knew the song. He was thrilled when he knew the song. He like gets back and he's like, and he hears it. And he's like, sweet. Oh, and he's like, yeah, all right, let's go. Yeah, and then as soon as you're reading the clues, he didn't even care. He didn't even care. As soon as you just said the Noble Five, Maroon Five.
Dude,
Maroon 5.
We walked into Chase Center. We were broadcasting live out there. First thing Bob Meyer says, not, hey, how you guys doing? He goes, Bonte, Maroon 5? And it was like weeks before. I'm like, dude, it's just so good.
All right. What do you guys got? Song number one.
Take over, Spadoni. I've been a breaker and broken,
every mistake turns to moments. What? Couldn't take anything back. I
still have it, I see it, and that's just my thing. All right, I think I can make a guess here. This isn't an official guess. I'm talking with Steven out loud. This feels like Bieber and Selena Gomez.
It's close. I know this. It's Camila Cabello.
Who's that?
Featuring who?
Boom, boom. I don't know. I don't know who it's featuring, but I know the song.
A red-haired English artist.
Oh, it's Ed Sheeran.
Oh, the guy from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Yeah.
The one scene that he had in the intro where he was singing.
What's his
at
song?
At the campfire.
What, he's got a very popular
he's
song.
He's got a lot of, awful lot of popular songs.
Oh, you know.
Ed Sheeran.
He kind of reminds me of Lubman. The looks. Redhead.
I mean, you could say that about any guy who has red hair.
Looking like a Game of Thrones character.
Wow. Wow. Camila Cabello.
All right. Good job.
There we go. All right. Wow. We got one.
A hint or anything.
How old is that song?
That was this year. Random. It was on the Billboard Top 100. Yeah.
Billboard Top 100. Camila
Cabello. Her most famous song is Havana. No, that one. So.
No, I don't.
Wow.
Might have to play that for me.
Excuse me.
Your boy has. I'm like stuck in the 90s, yo.
All right. Let's get song number two.
I have no. This is from a musical?
I don't know.
I have no idea. Can you give me a clue?
Your first hint is this is a Norwegian glam metal band.
What?
That mixes a little bit of glam metal and hard rock.
Is this your pick?
It is my pick.
When did it come out?
Well, let me see if I can find the year this particular song came out. But in the meantime,
Mark Lubman yet again.
Yeah, there you go. I will say this: this was the theme song for the show Peacemaker on HBO Max.
I know the song.
I have no idea.
I heard that show is fantastic.
I have no idea.
Yeah, with John Cena.
A Norwegian what band?
Glam metal is what he said. Glam metal.
This song came out in 2010.
I have no clue.
I mean, you want to talk about snitching music. I mean, where's Bonte?
Yeah.
Bonte. Jesus.
Bonte.
Sam,
I wonder if Bonte's listening right now from Europe because he could.
So this song is called Do You Want to Taste It by the band Wigwam.
So,
you wanted weird music taste. You got weird music taste.
You want to taste it. And then the name of the band is Wigwam. I can't make this up.
This is what happens when you allow me to have this kind of power over segments.
Yeah, this is true.
Oh my God.
This is true.
Normally, what does your playlist look like on your phone?
Oh, it's all over the place.
It's full of Wigwam's greatest hits.
Hey, hun, get this toe-tapping Wigwam music up. Let's go dance.
They got some bangers. I discovered them through that show, and then I looked up some of their albums, got some of their songs on my Spotify playlist.
You know how you're invited to a wedding, and in the invitation they might say like, "Hey, can you add three songs that you'd like to hear played at the wedding?"
So much Wigwam.
It would just be all Wigwam for Loveman. Just Wigwam.
Wigwam.
Okay. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Can we go to the third song? I need to stop talking about Wigwam.
I think Shasky will appreciate this one.
You can tell it's Friday. I'm looking for Mrs. Bubblegum. Oh, Laffy Taffy. It's Laffy Taffy, no.
Who's the artist?
I don't know.
You don't know, huh?
DL4?
Well, you got that sort of right.
Very close.
Is it DL4?
It's D4L.
D4L. Hey, come on. That's not bad. This is a one-hit wonder, huh?
Yes.
Number one in 2005, Billboard Top 100. 2006, check that.
Come on, man. You know I got this. This came out the same year as, what's the guy from St. Louis that had the one song? Oh, this is going to bother me. Chingy. When Chingy came out. Didn't this come out around the time of Chingy?
2006 sounds about right. Yeah. Holiday Inn.
Yeah. Look at Laffy Taffy. All I can envision in this one is them doing the dance that you're doing right now with the big white tees.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a banger in seventh grade. Shout out to my
banger now.
To this at Club 26.
Shout out to my guy DJ High Top.
Oh, DJ High Top.
DJ High Top would be DJing all of our junior high dances. He'd be selling CDs outside.
Was that the homie?
And it would just have Party Like a Rock Star and Laffy Taffy, then Bartender by T-Pain.
Oh, dude, T-Pain had a moment in time. Hey, not bad. Not bad. I know my one hit wonder.
Except the Wigwam.
Wigwam, dude. I mean, I can't believe it.
Wigwam.
I'm ready to do what Kapler did yesterday and come out and scream and yell at you fraudulently and get tossed out of this game for just even bringing up Wigwam and the word bangers in the same sentence. Are you kidding me? More like sleepers.
Did you watch the show Peacemaker?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay, was it good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I mean, I'm into the superhero genre a lot, so I enjoyed it a lot. And yeah,
I heard it was fantastic. I heard John Cena was built for that role,
but I couldn't see him.
I mean, yeah, once you get through that part, the whole not seeing him, yeah, the show really does develop very well.
So when Kapler got thrown out of yesterday's game and you're in the booth, what were you saying? Were you clapping? Were you happy? I know you did a poll with Giants fans as you walked around the stadium, and we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, let's actually do that on the other side.
Yeah, but I want to know, like, what happened? What was the reaction in that media press area, whatever it's called, when Kapler got tossed?
Well, first off, it's the press box, so you're not allowed to show emotion. That being said, I was sitting next to Steven Rizzotto.
Oh, yeah.
He was tweeting something going on, and I see Kapler kind of start to get animated. I see Garcia and Betts start to jaw at each other, and I kind of smack him on the arm like, yo, dude, something's about to happen. And then we look over, Kapler's getting
turned down the wigwam, yo. Look what's happening.
Oh, yeah, Rizzo. He's a big wigwam guy. And I see Kapler getting animated in front of the dugout. I'm like, dude, I think it's about to happen. And then he gets tossed. I'm not gonna lie. I let out a cheer and I started clapping. Not a huge one. You got to be respectful in the press box. But it sounded a little bit like that, but, you know, not exactly like that.
Wigwam.
God, I love you, Loveman.
Two separate words.
Oh.
Wigwam.
Oh.
All right. My goodness.
Oh, my God.
All right. What's coming
up
on the
game? Dog fries right after that.
I already had the garlic fries by then.
Speaking of which, I had them on Monday, and they like extra crispy them, and my God, they are hella good. I don't care what anyone says. Them garlic fries are cracking.
What's coming up on the game is sponsored by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. The 4408, what are you doing? The music segment isn't even enjoyable. Wigwam? What's coming up on the game? We're actually, Loveman did do a poll, and I think this really shows how Giants fans are feeling right now about the team, because he went around, asked some people some questions, so we'll get Loveman's thoughts on the other side, and we'll continue to talk about what happened with the Giants losing 8 straight to the LA Dodgers. We'll get to all of that. Again, that's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full service banking, no compromises. Oh, oh, oh,
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.